We have been talking about the crises of the creche for these weeks during Advent. And the fact that the coming of this thing, this feeding trough, this image, it stirred up things. It disturbed things. It in such a way that it literally divides history into two halves. We talk about BC, and we know what that means. It means before Christ. And we know that AD means Anno Domini, which means the year of our Lord. And so our history is defined by this coming of Christ that we've been talking about. The creche is an amazing thing. Why would it be a crisis? And yet actually there were many crises that came from the arrival of Jesus with this creche. There was a religious crisis we talked about when an angel showed up at the temple. There were several family crises that happened. This elderly couple was suddenly pregnant and didn't know exactly what they were going to do with a baby now at that age, but they were happy. And not long after, a teenager also was found to be pregnant with a strange explanation that was really, really hard to believe. But that was just the beginning. The announcement by the angels that we've been talking about in this service are another crisis that I'm going to call the crisis of joy. You might say, well, how can joy be a crisis? It really can. Oftentimes I talk to people and the one thing they really, really want is to find joy. And yet it's the thing most elusive to them. And so joy breaks in on this night. Let's read about it. Luke chapter 2, beginning verse 8. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told to them. Let's stand and let's pray together. Father, we thank you for Word made flesh to dwell among us, to save us. May we hear that message in this season. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. The shepherds were minding their own business. I mean, that's what it says. They were tending their flocks, watching their flocks by night. In fact, if you think about it, in every one of these stories, folks were just minding their own business when all of a sudden there was a shaking, a disturbance that happened. Zechariah and Elizabeth were just minding their own business. And an angel shows up in the temple, Mary and then Joseph, minding their own business, when Angel Gabriel comes and says, "I got something to tell you, and it's a really big thing." And now there's this celestial disturbance out in the field as the angel comes with this news, and the glory of the Lord shone around about them. They're terrified. And the first greeting of the angel is, "Fear not." Every time an angel shows up, that's the first thing they say. Angels must be pretty scary. And so that's the first word you're going to hear if you ever see an angel. Fear not. You know, it's sort of like if the cops come to the door and say, you're not in trouble. It's a reassuring word that comes. I bring good news of great joy for all people, not just for one group. A Savior is born in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. This is the thing that has been the longing of Jewish people for centuries. And this will be a sign. This is how you'll know that you're at the right house. It would be embarrassing to show up at the wrong house. We heard a baby is born. Or the wrong place. Or the wrong cave. You don't want to mess that up. The baby will be wrapped in swaddling cloths, swaddling clothes. And that was a sign of wealth or royalty. This was a clothing that was often passed from mother to daughter, mother to daughter. And so it said, this is special. This is royal. This is an amazing birth. But lying in a manger, in a feed trough, that was a sign of lowliness, of commonness. It's not that that was never done. It's actually the troughs that were carved in stone were the perfect shape so the baby wouldn't roll out. We know about that. But it was a sign of a very common birth among a common people in a common place. And then I'd like to say that then the big guns come out. The first angel was kind of like a little gunboat. And what comes next, it's like the lights coming up and you realize that right there offshore is the USS Missouri. I mean, the biggest of the big. It's a huge thing that happens. It would have been nice to get a little warning from the first angel. Okay, I know you were scared when I showed up, but you better brace yourself because it's going to get big here all of a sudden. This is going to blow you away. The scripture says a multitude of the heavenly host. What does that mean? It means an uncountable number of angels. So many that, and you know, the Bible counts lots of stuff. You go through the book of Numbers and there are big numbers. There are all these things that are counted. There were so many that they could not be counted and recorded in this place. An army of angels praising God. Sometimes we kind of breeze past this. That's really kind of the problem at Christmas is, unless you're brand new, you've heard this story. And if you are brand new and have never heard this story, I'm so glad you came. I'm so glad you were invited. But most of us have heard these stories so many times that we can kind of just tune them out. And we need to listen for what God wants to tell us out of these words, out of this scripture. This was an appearance unequaled in history since creation. Since creation. There had never been more glory or more angels in one place. I like the way that Pastor Ann put it. This is a big birth announcement. And if God's announcing the birth of his son, don't you know it's going to be big? And don't even try to top it. This was a big, big deal. How many angels were there? Wow. Probably all of them. Now, I'm not an angel. You agreed with that too fast. Yeah. Okay. I'm not an angel, but if I were an angel, who would miss this? I mean, it would be a bad time for one angel to say, you come into the big announcement and say, nah, I'm a little tired. I think I'll stay in. No. I think everyone was there. Praising God, all of them, all of these voices saying, glory to God in the highest and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. It's a short message with a big impact. God has declared peace. Some of us, we need to hear that because we haven't felt peace in a long time. We'll get to that candle. Peace is so important. And for us to hear that news that he has declared peace, but not to everyone. That's something we don't want to miss. On those with whom he is pleased. Well, I want him to be pleased with me, don't you? Well, he's made a way for that. Scripture says in Isaiah, there is no peace for the wicked. There are those in our world that I can tell you with confidence, there is no peace for them with God because they need to find the path to peace. It's a path of repentance. There's a way even for the wicked, but they must receive it and walk in it. It is the way of repentance. There is a Savior that is born unto you this day in the city of David, a Savior who is Christ the Lord, the one that has been longed for. It's a message that we must receive. And then, just as fast as they came, the angels left. I like the sound effects that Pastor Ann does. Do you like them? Shoo. Why don't you say it with me? Shoo. Yeah. They left, and everything was quiet and dark again, and I can't imagine that the shepherds didn't look at each other and just say, did that really happen? I mean, that's what I would say. What's fortunate is that it wasn't just one shepherd. There were a bunch of them. And they could say, yeah, that really happened. Did you see what I saw? Yes, I saw what you saw. And so together, they witnessed this. And they witnessed to one another. Let's go see this thing that has happened. And they found the baby lying in a manger in a feeding trough, just as was told to them. And they went to tell the others about what had happened. Now Luke is writing this, and he says, but Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And Luke is a good writer, but he's revealing his source here. A lot of writers, a lot of reporters won't reveal their source, but Luke does. This is where I got all this. She treasured up these things. She pondered them over these years and finally was telling them to Luke. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and all that they had seen, just as they had been told. They would never be the same. So you might ask, so Pastor Jeff, how is this a crisis? How can this be a crisis? If you look in the dictionary, crisis is defined in three different ways. The first definition is a time of intense difficulty, trouble, or danger. That's what we would think. Oh, that's how I would define it. I'm in a financial crisis. I'm in a family difficulty. I'm in an employment crisis, a time of trouble, a marriage crisis. We know about that. But the second definition, a crisis is a time when a crucial decision must be made. We're at a crisis point where we have to decide the direction that we're going to go. As a group or as a family or as an individual is now. That's the second definition. The third definition is a turning point when a vital change takes place, a turn for the better or the worse. If someone has been very ill, they will say, we're at a crisis point where things are going to take a turn, either for the better, getting better, or for the worse. That's the third definition of crisis. The good news of the angels calls for a decision. That's the second definition. It's a question, what are you going to do with this good news? You know, I sometimes talk to people and they say, I love Christmas, but in January, I'm always so let down. It may be because we haven't received the good news. We got a lot of the trappings. We got a lot of the fun, but we haven't really received the good news. The shepherds had to decide, would they just go back to business as usual, watching the flock by night. There was a decision to be made. And you and I, we have to make a decision. A Savior calls us to another decision, to make a change. A Savior is born in the city of David, who is Christ the Lord. You know, a Savior, that's an interesting word. But a Savior, for him to do his work, you must agree to be saved. You know, I've talked to a lot of people who have been lifeguards and even some that who have saved people. And the number one thing they'll say is, if I'm coming to save you, you've got to work with me. Don't fight me or we'll both go down. And I'm not a lifeguard, but the training says you can't go near someone until they've calmed down enough for you to help them. A Savior has come, but we have to work with him. The Bible says that we work out our salvation with fear and trembling. We work with God. We don't work for God. We don't work for salvation, but we work with him in this. You can't save yourself, But you do have to decide to be saved. You see, this announcement of joy, it creates a turning point for the better. You know, joy is not the same as happy. I love that comparison that we were looking at a few minutes ago. You know, you can get happy in a lot of places. You can get some happy here and there. Decorate your house. I mean, a lot of people say, I just need the Spirit. So I've got to decorate. I got to put up my lights. I've got to do something. I go to a theme park. I talked to someone yesterday and they said, we're going to go over to SeaWorld. And I said, I am so happy for you. Because SeaWorld at this time of year, you should go if you've never been. They have a fabulous musical production, but it's just beautiful. And the ice skating out there is just amazing. I'm always waiting because I think they're going to ask me to step in and ice skate, you know, but they never do. But it is so fun and it's happy. I mean, there's lots of ways to find happy. You could watch a Hallmark movie. Oh, maybe not. Okay. But it is interesting. The Bible uses the word happy about 30 times. Think of how big your Bible is. Happy 30 times. But the Bible uses the word joy or rejoice over 300 times. And Pastor Ann was telling you about all the other ways that it talks about delight and worship and those other aspects of joy. You see, joy is something very different and more profound than happiness. C.S. Lewis said that joy is the serious business of heaven. Isn't that an interesting way to put it? It's the serious business of heaven. Jesus said, I tell you the truth, you will weep and mourn while the world rejoices. Boy, we see that today, don't we? We weep and we mourn, and there are people rejoicing in the world. You will grieve, but your grief will turn to joy. How does that happen? These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be full, full to overflowing. It's the only place to find it. But we've got to walk it out. A famous theologian that I know once said, sometimes joy is found by getting up, walking forward, and doing the next right thing. Sometimes we just got to move forward. I talk to people who want so desperately to find joy. C.S. Lewis, he said, joy bursts into our lives when we go about doing the good at hand and not trying to manipulate things and times to achieve joy. That's worth reading out loud. Would you read that with me? It's not a scripture, but it's so powerful. Joy bursts into our lives when we go about doing the good at hand and not trying to manipulate things and times to achieve joy. See, joy doesn't erase the difficulties of life and the challenging circumstances. Joy is the thing by which God carries you through the circumstances. How many of you know that? I look at you and I know that many of you have discovered that to be true. You see, the coming of Jesus calls us to seek him, to choose him as Savior, and to turn to him in joy. That's the call upon us. C.S. Lewis, I'll quote him one more time. You might say, why are you quoting Lewis so much? He's kind of the wise man of joy because he went through such grief and then discovered such joy and wrote about it. He said, if you want to get warm, you must stand near the fire. If you want to be wet, you must get into the water. If you want joy, power, peace, eternal life, you must get close to or even into the thing that has them. They are not a sort of prize, which God could, if he chose, just hand out to anyone. We only find joy when we enter into him and know that he is in us. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you so much that even in the midst of a broken world, we can seek earnestly to find the joy of the Lord that is our strength. We can reach out. We can make the decision. We can choose to do the next right thing and walk in joy. Now, it may be that you've realized today that you very much need joy because you very much need Jesus. Don't leave without both today. You might pray a prayer like this. Lord, I get it. Come into me. Forgive me of my sin. I receive the peace that you came to declare, and I receive the joy that you came to announce. Make your joy full and complete in me. If you pray a prayer like that, wow. It may be a renewal in your life. It may be a moment of new commitment, but he meets you in that prayer. God, I'm so grateful that you came to save us. In Jesus' name, amen.